I'm just going to hit the music, he says. That's kind of how it goes. Oh, there it is, too. There it is, too.
It is.
Hey, wait, hang on. Oh, look. Wait, who are you? Hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the daily version of the podcast that we do where we try to make today make sense. Molly Wood is out. I am here with Marketplace's Kimberly Adams. Kimberly, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's
your special Kai and Molly place.
It's our special little thing. It's our, well, you know, we're open to friends and neighbors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You count.
Okay,
so standard drill, couple of news items from Kimberly and me, what we are keeping track of to keep track of things, because holy cow. Mm-hmm. And then we will end in 10 to 12 very quick minutes with a little bit of Make Me Smile. So I'm going to let you go first since you're the guest.
Well.
and let me just point out, actually, I'm reading ahead in the rundown. You, like Ms. Wood, brought two items. I'm just saying.
I did. It's just because one of them is personally relevant to me, which is that despite everything happening, somehow, some way, cruise bookings are up for 2021.
What?
So,
are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. So you know I had like this existential crisis a couple of months ago because my mother booked this ultimate disco cruise for herself, my sister, and I, and she really wanted to go, and there were costumes, and it was a thing, but it was in early February, and I was already feeling real dicey about the whole thing, but I was like, it's my mom. Gotta go. Put on my Star Trek costume because I'm a nerd, and we did the thing.
There are pictures, by the way. There are pictures.
Yes. I've seen lots of hand washing, lots of hand sanitizer. Thankfully, we made it home safely. There are cruise ships that cannot dock right now.
Oh, I know.
But somehow, it's just
the people still want to go, which I think is just craziness. Did you see also, by the way, that Carnival floated a debt offering the other day? They want $4 billion, right, in the debt markets. It's oversubscribed. $10 billion worth of uptake on a $4 billion offer. And I'm like, are you kidding me? How does that industry exist in 6 months? But then people are going on cruises. I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of sales. And I think one of my friends was asking me the other day, you know, what do you want to do after this? And talking about her travel plans. And I was just like, I can't even think that far. But clearly some folk are out there like in this real world saying, after this, I want to go on a cruise.
Not enough money in the world. Not enough money in the world. All right, what's your second item here, boss?
Welp, it is.
Welp?
Hey, look, I'm from Missouri. Don't mock my colloquialisms.
Fair enough. No,
it's that tomorrow is supposed to be this big day for small businesses to apply for this rescue package and all these loans. And a lot of these banks are saying, you know, I don't know. I don't think we're going to be ready. But the Treasury Secretary is on TV saying, it's going to be fine. We're going to be ready. And if we run out of money, we'll get some more, which is all well and good. And for what it's worth, I do believe that Congress and the White House are completely on board in getting money for small businesses as much as people want to subscribe to this program. However, the time it takes for people to get that money, and I say people because also with these stimulus checks, but businesses also, that's the time that businesses just can't make it anymore. So I'll be very fascinated to see if there are literally lines outside of banks tomorrow morning or websites crashing. It'll be interesting.
Oh, guaranteed. I saw actually an observation today that basically said this is going to be worse than the Obamacare website rollout was. And as we all remember, that was a mess. I would also point out just this item you highlighted. It's not like, you know, Acme Savings and Loan in Ottumwa, Iowa says it's not going to be ready. J.P. Morgan says it's not going to be ready.
Kind of a big
bank. Yeah, kind of a big bank. So, you know, I think that's going to be really bad. And as Kimberly, as you say, it's all about these businesses and how they're not going to have operating cash, which is really, really sad. Really sad.
I was talking to a business owner in my neighborhood because I was going to get takeout. I wasn't just randomly wandering around. I was going to pick up food before we had our full-on lockdown. And I said, oh, have you applied for any of these disaster loans already? And this was before even the Senate package came through. And he said, I've tried 7 different times to put in a SBA loan application and it crashes every time. Yeah. So what's your thing?
So my thing is an indicator, a marker. The Congressional Budget Office, widely respected and deeply nonpartisan, came out today with its second quarter economic forecast, and they are predicting GDP will fall 7% in Q2, and the jobless rate, and this one I totally believe, I think actually GDP is going to be worse, but I believe jobless rate is going to be about 10%, which is just stunning. That was the height of the Great Recession, an incredibly big number. We've already got 6.5 million, people filing first time claims this week. We saw that this morning. And I just think this is going to be, as I said on Marketplace today, it's going to be worse than people are thinking it's going to be. And people are thinking it's going to be bad. And I don't want to scare people, but we need to get ready for it, I suppose.
I mean, apparently we do need to scare people because,
Well, that's a good point.
It's still getting worse. And people still aren't social distancing and hanging out and doing whatever they're going to do. You know, I've just been struck over the last couple weeks over just the sheer insanity of some of these numbers that are coming out of our mouth. Like, 7% GDP drop. Like, what is this life? And, today talking about in the last 2 weeks, 10 million people at least have lost their jobs. It's really mind-boggling.
You know what it's like? It's actually like the first time you really start to think about what it means when the government spends $2 trillion and it's like make-believe money. It's like funny money. You can't really get your brain around it. Yeah. 6 million people losing their jobs in a week is like funny money in a way, right? It's just that's not possible. Come on. Really? Anyway.
It's except for what makes it so much worse is that the vast majority of Americans know someone personally who is one of these people. And we're literally watching our friends and our family go through it on top of the fear and anxiety about the health crisis. You know, it's like, okay, can I buy groceries for this person? Because I don't know if I'm going to lose my job next week. And, do I save my money because a recession is coming? Or do I spend money to go out to eat so I can support the local business to hopefully keep them afloat until whatever government rescue package comes in? And it's a lot of decisions. Gosh, this show is a downer, Kai.
No, it's not. And that's why we decided we had to have a little thing that makes people smile at the end. And we're going to send them out on an upbeat note. Once again, you get to go first.
Okay. Nice. Actually, this was the hardest thing.
I know.
I spent more time on this today.
See? The news items are easier. You're like, oh, yeah, bang, I'm going to put this in there. But what's going to make people smile?
Well,
there's an expectation set here, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was like my cat.
I did my daughter baking bread once, so anything's game as long as it makes you smile.
Yeah, so what actually kind of made me smirk a little bit today was that I'd like to look at these random sort of aggregation websites that have all sorts of things. So one of them is apartment therapy because it has a lot of things about plants, and I like plants because I'm a millennial, and apparently this is our thing. We like plants because we don't want to have kids. And so I'm on apartment therapy, and they have made customized Zoom backgrounds. So for all of us who've been in, God help us, who knows how many Zoom meetings, at some point, all of us discover that you can change your background. And then you have this moment in a Zoom meeting where everyone's trying out being at the beach or being at a cabin or being like amongst the stars in the universe. So apartment therapy has all these like backgrounds, which are the sort of hipster apartment layouts that no one actually has except for in the photos, but you can have the cartoon version as your Zoom background. And that at least made me smirk.
I mock Zoom backgrounds a little bit, but I actually hung a little print on the background of my Zoomage here where my computer stares because I was like, oh, it's just a blue wall, man. I got to give people something to look at. So there you go. So look, I totally get that. Totally get that.
Oh, man, I have three separate spots in my apartment for Zoom meetings, depending on what background mood I'm in.
That's a whole nother level.
Well, no, I didn't make them. It's just like spots in my apartment that have decent like background images. Like, not that I like set them up for Zoom, but I definitely like think about it.
They just happen to be there.
Yes, because I'm just like classy like that, Kai.
It's a lot of thought going into a Zoom background. All right. So mine is an American icon, a songwriter extraordinaire, and also a woman who will now read books to your kids. Dolly Parton has been involved in youth education for a long time. Starting today, and I'm really sorry because this is going to drop too late for y'all to get the first week's edition, but starting today, she's going to read bedtime stories to your kids. It's a new series. It's going to be on her Facebook page. It's called Good Night with Dolly. Right. And she's going to read books to your kids. And I just think that is awesome. First week, 10-week series kicks off today. And I'm sorry, again, you're going to miss it. The Little Engine That Could. Come on. Can you see Dolly Parton sitting in her bed reading The Little Engine That Could? How great is that? Come on.
I mean, it's great. It's very sweet. And I will definitely be sending it to my sister and her kids. But it reminds me of this Jimmy Kimmel skit the other day with Samuel L. Jackson and the new version of that bedtime story that has language not appropriate for radio.
Wait, is it go the H to bed or go the F to bed?
Go the F to sleep. Yeah. But the poet who did it rewrote it, which and made the poem like stay the F at home, and had Samuel L. Jackson reading it, which was entertaining.
That's awesome. I love that. So there you go. So that's episode one with Kimberly Adams in From Hollywood. We're going to be back doing it tomorrow because it's Friday. We'll be doing. Did they tell you you have to do video, by the way, Kimberly, on Friday?
Yes. I'll pick one of my three backgrounds for it.
Okay. All right. So it's video, and I will be drinking beer. Kimberly will be drinking something fancier.
Yes.
Just because that's the way she rolls.
Yes, it is.
Same time tomorrow. But in the meanwhile, as we like to say on this podcast, the Tuesday version anyway, none of us is as smart as all of us. Send us what you want to know about what's happening in this economy and in life right now, because holy cow, it's a mess. Make me smart at marketplace.org. Put questions in the subject line Wednesdays. Eric, am I getting this right? It's what do you want to know Wednesdays? Erica Phillips is there. She's going to slap me. Come on. No?
Oh, God.
All right. Yes, there it is. Boom. Correct. What do you want to know Wednesdays? Anyway, emails, voice memos, take your pick. MakeMeSmartAtMarketplace.org. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner, and our senior producer is Joni Becker.
Daniel Ramirez is our engineer. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday, whose name I know y'all love to mock. And Daniel Ramirez, the executive director of On Demand, Satara Nieves, and the senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark.
The best part is you just read Ben's name straight up. You're like, screw it. I'm not playing that. I'm just doing Ben Tolliday.
I like Ben. Y'all tease him too much.
Oh, well, you know, he played along. He was on the pod yesterday.
I know. I heard him.
I can't believe you guys are making that much mileage. Anyway. All right. Tomorrow's Friday. Beer.
And cocktails.
I'm looking forward to it. Can I even tell you? Yes, cocktail. Are you not a beer person?
I don't like beer.
I should. Oh, all right. Okay. All right. That's fine. Yeah. We'll let you on anyway.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.